This is Brother Billy. I want to say good morning to each one of you and pray the Word of God is going to bless you again today. It is the Lord's Day. We're looking forward to the great move of God. I pray and trust that you are trusting that God's going to come by and blow upon you. Amen. When the winds of heaven blow, things begin to happen. And that's why I like it when God begins to move. You know, we're going to read here in a little bit of some things God done through His Word, how He moved upon some of His people, and how the Spirit of God does work. You know, oftentimes people think, well, it's a great mystery. We can't know how God works. But, you know, the song the choir singing right now says, I can't find my way without Him. And in that way we are, unless God leads us, we can't find our way. And we were talking about some in the Word of the past, how God led them, and I'm glad He still leads and guides, and He's here to guide you. God wants to guide you. He longs to guide you. Matter of fact, if any be led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Without God's leadership, we have no claims of Christ upon us to be saved. We have to be led of the Spirit, by the Spirit, through the Spirit. That's the way we stay in the will of God. You know, without Him, we can do nothing. Jesus made that very clear. John 15:5, without me, ye can do nothing. I pray you get that today. You know, I don't know where you are spiritually. Some of you are saved. Some of you are lost. Some of you, no doubt, tuned into this broadcast today. You're in a backslid condition. And something's hurt you in the past. Somebody's done something that wronged you, or else you just got wayward. You know, mankind, we're talking about humans. Human mankind is prone to wander. We're so prone to wander away from God. But God wants to draw us back. Matter of fact, we're going to read about a man today who's very prone to wander. But God wants to draw us back. God said He loved to draw us back. And we find it that we are not of them. I like this over in Hebrews 10:38-39. We are not of them that draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And I trust and pray that's where you are. Let's look now. Look now in the Word. Go over to Judges 13. If you got your Bible, turn there. Judges 13 of the Word of God is where we're going to begin reading about a man by the name of Samson. And Samson, one of the most interesting characters in the Word. And he was a character. You know, it's much like we say about David. David was a rascal, but he's God's rascal. Jacob was a rascal, but he's God's. He belonged to God. And so did Samson. And I like this. As we read this, it gives us hope. You said, preacher, I'm not perfect in all my ways. There's hope for you. Amen. There's hope. I'm glad that they were men of God in the Word that didn't have it all figured out. Most every day, I feel like I don't have it all figured out. What about you? Do you feel like that today? You said, preacher, I'm struggling. I'm trying. I'm going forward. One step ahead of the other. That's what God said. It's a walk by faith. And so we're to take the truth God gives us. We're to live in it. We're to grow in it. We're to grow in grace. I tell you, people say, preacher, I've had setbacks in my life, setbacks in my career, setbacks in my home, in my spiritual walk. I have setbacks. And so do we. Listen, because so many times people think, well, I don't attend church because I don't have it all figured out. I promise you, there's not one honest person down at the local church where you used to worship or where you worship when you go that has it all figured out. Well, how do we walk? We walk by faith. And if they act like they got it all figured out, they're just pretending. We don't have it all figured out, but we worship one that does. And that's what you ought to grasp. You ought to grasp the fact that God doesn't expect you to have it all figured out. And we don't walk by the works that we do. That'll get us nowhere. And it's not our righteousness, it's His. And so it's not our goodness, as it is written. Romans 3:10 said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And so I rejoice in the fact today that we see the examples that we're going to read about right here. Those that stumbled through this life, even in their best efforts, led by the Spirit of God, and God carried them through. I'm not trusting in me getting myself to heaven. I know that would be failure from the word go. But Christ can, and Christ will. We're going to see some examples of that today. And so button up your seatbelt, strap on your hat, and let's look at Judges 13. Judges 13 of the Word of God. There was a special birth by the angel of God's visitation to a man by the name of Manoah and his wife. And Manoah and his wife, she was barren. And the angel of God showed up and said, "You are going to bring forth a son." And verse 24 said, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him." Oh, leave me right there. Leave me with the blessing of God. It's where I want to be. I don't want to be anywhere without the blessing of God. You can have this world's goods. You can have its lands, monies, and riches. You can have its prosperity, and you can have its posterity. You can have all that this world puts emphasis upon. Give me the blessing of God. And Jabez called. I love Jabez's prayer, don't you? We was preaching about it a little while back. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 1 Chronicles 4:10, you can find it. He called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." But I'm going to tell you, what did God say? The Lord blessed him. You know why Samson was marked for God? You said, "Preacher, Samson got into a lot of things." That's right. But he's God's man, and God blessed him, and God used him, and God led him. And we're going to see this. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. Does that ever happen to you? Does God ever move you? Does God ever lead you? Listen, I'm alarmed at people that said, "Preacher, I'm saved, but God never moves me. I'm saved and God never leads me." That's not biblical. It just don't. That's not 2 + 2 in the Word of God, I promise you. And so this is not adding up, folks, when we say that we belong to God, but God never deals with us. We belong to God. Some of you are trusted in a false hope. Some of you are trusted in church membership, water baptism, shaking the preacher's hand, signing a card, giving some money. Those things cannot save. And so here we find it in Samson's life. Not only did God bless him, but God moved him. Amen. This thrills my heart that we can be moved by the Spirit of God. And so it's not hocus pocus pie in the sky. It is God leading His children. It's God putting His hand. It's the Spirit of God speaking down in the depths of one's heart. And so Noah, how do you think Noah was inclined to build an ark? God moved him. And so we see it. God moves His young'uns. How was Jeremiah, who was called from his mother's womb, who was ordained and sanctified right there in the uterus of his mama? God said, "I put my hand on Jeremiah and I moved him." And at some point in time, Jeremiah became the weeping prophet that preached to his people and warned his people of the judgment ahead by the hand of one Nebuchadnezzar. And so for 52 chapters in the writings of Jeremiah, we have the warnings there. How so? God moved him. God moved him into prison. God moved him when things were going good. He moved him when things were going wrong. God moved him. This is what happened to Samson. The Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now Samson was raised up a judge. He judged Israel for 20 years. And here he is, a young man, and he's down at Timnath, and he's picked him out a woman of the Philistines. Well, there's problems right there. That's a chief problem. Now, we read about those that went and took a Gentile bride. We read about them that went down as Boaz and Ruth. Ruth was the Moabitess. Ruth was a Gentile. And we got a lot of examples of that that we don't have time to get into. We find that Moses took a Gentile bride. On and on it goes. There's a long chain of events right there. But Samson's problem, as he goes down and he takes the wife of Timnath, that's not the big problem. There's other problems to follow. Watch what happened. He came up and told his father and mother and said, "Get her for me." And his father and mother said, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines. That was a problem. It's a problem right here. His mama and his daddy pointed it out. I'm going to tell you, when Esau went and took a wife of the Canaanites, it was a grief of mine to Isaac and Rebekah. It was a grief to them. And there's things that we can do in our own life that will cause grief unto us. And Samson has caused grief to his parents, grief to himself. And I'm going to tell you, brother, this, we are called to walk in the newness of life. No doubt, Samson had the call of God on him, yes. But the command was, he was not commanded to marry a Philistine. And when he done this, watch what the word said in verse 4. For Samson said, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Now, Samson's only looking with the eye. When we begin to walk with the carnal eye, it causes us problems. And Samson saw one thing. She was something to look at. She was a beauty. And so he said, she pleaseth me well. But watch now, verse 4. But his father and mother knew that it was of the Lord. It was of God, and they knew it. They knew when that angel paid a visit and talked about one that would be born and how God was upon him and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. They knew that it was of the Lord, and he sought an occasion against the Philistines. God did. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So God raised up Samson to change this whole setting, how that the Philistines ruled over Israel. God's going to change it, and he's going to use Samson to do it. Well, if you go forward, you're going to find that Samson left his wife, and he left her, and he went back, and his father said, no, I gave her to somebody else, and you can't have her. And the whole instance where Samson has burned down their cornfields with 300 foxes, and what a mighty man of valor he was. And then, of course, the whole situation where he goes back to Gaza, and there he sees a harlot, and he went in unto her. Well, that's not the will of God. Going into harlots is not the will of God. That'll get you in trouble. We find it right there in the life of one Judah. Remember the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis? How that Judah went into a harlot who, after everything was said and done, ended up being his daughter-in-law. And Judah didn't know it, but she knew it. And so we find it. Listen, let's go back to and point out, Judah is part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see it again. We're talking about Ruth the Moabite is part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus. These are all, we go back to Rahab the harlot, Joshua chapter 2. She is part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so even in the Lord's lineage, his earthly lineage, now bless God, there's no sin on his father's behalf. Listen, Jesus was born of an earthly woman, and that earthly woman was part of a sinful seed that came from Adam. But Father God had no sin, and he knew no sin. And so Jesus was born the sinless Savior, sired by the Father. And so we see it that Mary conceived by the Holy Ghost. And so that holy thing which shall be born of thee, Luke 1, shall be called the Son of God. And so we know that Jesus was sinless and perfect. But on his mother's side, there was a sin seed. And so we see it here, and we're talking about part of that seed today. And so you said, preacher, I don't have all my life straightened out. I got boogers in the closet. I got things I don't want to talk about. I got things that others don't even know about. My spouse don't know about. I want to tell you, sir, there's nothing that the Lord Jesus don't know about today. And I delight in that. That, bless God, he can still use you. He can still use those that are willing to be used. He can still put his hand upon you, even as he did Samson. And watch now, as we fast forward a little bit, watch what happened to Samson. We know that he laid his head in the lap of a pretty little Delilah, and he told him, or her rather, all his heart. And so he shared all his heart with the enemy. That's never good. Never good good things never happen when that happens. And it didn't happen good for Samson. And why? Because the Philistines came and bound him, and they put him to death, a physical death. Sometimes our mistakes will cost us. They'll cost us in a physical way. They'll cost us physical harm. You said, preacher, don't God forgive those? Yes. But I want to tell you, if you get AIDS outside of God's merciful hand, you're going to die with AIDS. And if you do things that destroy your body and your health, you're going to die in your destruction. And Samson laid his head in the lap of one Delilah, and she sold him to the Philistines for money. And Samson was given and imprisoned and made sport of. And so we find it here that Samson's life was shortened by the life that he lived. And that happens to me and you too. And people say, preacher, I thought God saved me. He saved me. That's right. He'll save you. But you still can destroy yourself by the decisions that you make. And we see it here. But I'm glad I'm talking about how God leads his young'uns. And you, did you hear what the choir was singing? I cannot find my way alone. I can't find my way without him. And that's where Samson is. And it's where you and I are. And we're preaching about Samson today. But Samson's problems are not our problems. We've got our own set of problems. We've got our own set of issues we got to deal with. Some of you today are struggling with things in your body that you know God has separated you from, called you out from, spoke to you by preaching, spoke to you by His Word. God's put His hand on some fleshly habits that you partake of, and the Spirit of God saying, stop it and stop it now. And you are resisting. And in the weakness of your flesh, you don't want to do it. You don't feel like you can do it. You think it's impossible. But all things are possible with God. Some of you today, God's dealing with you about your worship. He's dealing with you about where you worship and how you worship. And listen, some of you, He's dealing with about who you worship. And so we've got to get this straight. We've got to have it right before God. Our fellowship comes from our obedience. When we live in disobedience, sin grieves us. When we live in obedience, our obedience creates a blessing in our heart because we have fellowship with the Father. And so right here, Samson, where is he? He's down at the Philistines' camp. He's in prison. I'm picking up and reading here in verse 20. And she said, Delilah said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Chapter 16, verse 20. And he awoke out of his sleep. You know where he was? He's where many of you are today. He's got his head laid in the devil's lap, and he don't even know it. He's got his head laid down in the pretty little lap of one Delilah who's being used of Satan. You said, preacher, you know, what about this? Can people yield themselves to Satan's use? Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes it's those that we think love us. They're yielding themselves to Satan, and they're seeking to destroy you. And we find that to be true in Judas's life. We find that to be true in the life of others that seek to destroy. And here, she is selling Samson out to the Philistines. And I will go out. He awoke out of his sleep. This is where human flesh will cause you to be. And he said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not. That word means knew, to know. He knew not. He knew that. This is where we get, church. Some of you today are unsaved. This is where you get. You think, preacher, I'm going to do it like I've always done it. Right in the nick of time, I'm going to find an old-fashioned altar. Right in the nick of time, I'm going to pray. And God's going to forgive me. Don't you buy into that stuff. That's not gospel preaching. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, enter into the straight gate. We preached this a little while back. Why? Because wide is the gate which leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because, he said, the reason many go in the wide gate is because straight is the gate. See, there's a reason. There's a reason and a cause. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few, F-E-W, remember the message? Few there be that find it. And so don't you think for a moment, I'll take and I'll slap Jesus in the face, and I'll spit on God and all that belongs to Him, and I'll get right at the last moment. I'll get right at the last minute. People said, well, what about deathbed repentance? Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. But I'm going to tell you, it's not probable. It's not probable that you're going to get saved at the last moment. Don't you trust in that. Outside of the leading of the Spirit of God, you cannot be saved. Outside of the drawing of the Holy Ghost, you cannot come. And so we see it right there in Luke 23:42-43. Remember the man, the malefactor, who said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You said, well, God saved him. That's right. And God might save another, but it don't mean he'll save you. And so deathbed repentance is a dangerous, dangerous case of Russian roulette with one's own soul. And so Samson, what did he say? He said, I know what I'll do. You know where Samson's problem began to be? It began to be where ours is, in trusting in ourselves. Luke 18, you know the problem with the Pharisee that went down to pray? He trusted in himself that he was righteous. And so here, watch now. He said, I will go out as at other times. Oh, that had worked before. It had worked before. She said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And he arose and he bust those green cords and he bust those new ropes. If you look back into verse 11, you'll find it. And verse 12, you'll find it. He break them from off his arms like a thread. But this time he sold out the secret of his heart. He has sacrificed that's holy. He has put it aside. And he said, I know what I'll do. He awoke and said, I'll go out as at other times and shake myself. Did you notice that's all about Samson? That's all about what he'll do. He'll do. He'll do. Salvation's not what you do. Salvation's what Christ does. Salvation's what God does. Deliverance comes from God. Salvation comes from God. It's through Christ and not of yourself. And so we see it right here. It's not what Samson does, but Samson's began to trust in his own strength. Church, I want to tell you, trusting in your own strength will fail you. The arm of flesh, the old song says, will fail you. And Samson's about to find this out. And she said, the Philistines be upon him. And the word said, he wist not, he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. What's he talking about? The strength of God was gone. The strength of God was departed. The ability to bust those green cords, the ability to bust those new ropes was gone. And the word said, he knew it not. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. Did you see that? They put his eyes out. The last thing that Samson saw was a little Delilah with it where his head lay and the Philistines that took him in his fleshly weakness. Listen, there's one thing that hinders the work of God. Our fleshly weakness and our ability to trust in our own self will hinder the work of God. It's the last thing Samson saw. Samson didn't see anything else till he got to the other side. And we're going to talk about it right here. Notice what happened. They took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, put fetters of brass upon him, and he did grind in the prison house. You know where some of you are today? You said, preacher, I used to walk with God. I used to have a relationship. I used to know what it was to pray and fellowship and worship God. But today I feel like I'm grinding in the devil's house. I'm grinding in the devil's prison. I'm grinding at the devil's meal. And I feel like the devil's making sport of me. But I'm going to tell you, there's hope. The word said there's hope here. And we find it as we fast forward just a little bit. Watch what happened here. As God began, the word said that the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their God. See, here's the problem with the Philistines. Here's the problem with you allowing your family to intermingle with heathen culture, it will steal the worship of God from their heart. This is what happens. This is why God warned them. It's why Abraham said, "You swear, put your hand under my thigh," and Eleazar swore to him that he would not take a wife of the daughter of Canaan's for his boy Isaac. I'm going to tell you, it's the most important thing in Abraham's heart. You could have had all of Abraham's land, wealth, and cattle, and herds. You could have had all that. He was concerned about the posterity of his children, and he made him promise. And he stood true to the promise. God worked it out. But here is Samson down at the Philistines' place. This is why it's a grief to his parents. Listen, parents, I want to encourage you. You need to pay attention to who your children spend time with. You need to pray over their mates. You need to pray over their future. You need to pray over their posterity. You need to pray. The hand of God will put his... You said, "Preacher, it don't matter." It doesn't matter who it is. It does matter. I'm going to tell you, those that they marry is going to help raise your grandchildren. It does matter, and you ought to pray and seek the face of God. I believe it's why, one of the reasons why the divorce rate is out of the roof. I believe it's one of the reasons why women brutality's off the chain. Why these things happen. Why homes are bust asunder. Why children on drugs and alcohol. Why parents can't stay together. I know there's other reasons for it, but a lot of the reason is because we have encouraged our children, go into the Philistines, go and take a wife of the wicked. It doesn't matter, but it does matter. And God said here that Samson is down at the Philistines' camp. He's got no business there. He's grinding at the mill. That's not the plan of God. And so we see it as they're praising their God. Dagon. Dagon was the fish god. They're worshiping fish. These are people. Listen, we live in a society today where people worship the moon. They worship the sun. The Philistines lived on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. That's where their border was. And so they worshiped fish. The Egyptians worshiped bulls. And so they had their golden calves. This is why Aaron has erected a golden calf out in the wilderness. That's what he's raised around. He's raised around calf worship. And so we find it the false gods that people get tangled up with. And so here, as their hearts were merry, they called for Samson, verse 25, that he may make us sport. Do you see it? They're taking Samson and making him some little trinket that's going to make sport for them at their merry little feast, their little drunken party. And so here they're going to use Samson. And I'm going to tell you, the world will use you if you give yourself over to them and not separate yourself to God. Samson was separated to God, and God put his hand on his life, and the Spirit of God moved upon him, and he's about to move upon him again. And Samson's right there in the Faith Hall of Fame. I'm not worried about Samson's end. I know where Samson was when he left here. But I'm telling you, it's where we find ourselves when we get out of the will of God. When we miss the will of God, we create pain and suffering that God does not want us to bear. Look what happened. Now the house was full of men and women, verse 27, and all the lords of the Philistines. And there they were upon the roof, about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. This was the Super Bowl, if you will, of the Philistines' big party. Oh, it's the big party day. And so here, I'm going to read something to you that happened. Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand. Now remember, he has no eyesight. And a little lad, I often wonder what that little lad's going to be like. That little lad, how old was he? He's leading Samson, got him by the hand, and he compels him. He said, "Suffer me, allow me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." And Samson's got a plan, and he took hold of the two middle pillars, and we know what happened. he prayed one more time, God, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein, so that the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And so Samson went out in a blaze of glory, and the little lad led him. I'm thinking about this, but I'm going to tell you something. When God puts his hand upon our life as he did with Samson, the call of God was so great. The life of God was there. The power of the Spirit of God by which he walked. He slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, which we would say a mule or a donkey. He slew 1,000 Philistines. Nothing could stop him. He's unstoppable until he sells himself out. And he sold himself to one Delilah, and God was merciful to him. Watch now, I want to close this up. And I want you to see this quickly. We're talking about something here in John 14. I'm going to read to you a quick passage. Our time's getting away. But watch this quick passage in John 14. Jesus said in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And he said, whither I go, you know. Do you remember what we're preaching? Who's leading you today? Who's got his hand upon you? That little lad had Samson by the hand, and he led him to the place of victory, where he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. That's why God raised him. God raised him to destroy the Philistines. And so right here, watch this. Jesus said, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, you can't come without me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know what you need today, sir? You need Christ to lead you. Yet just as Samson needed that young lad, his eyes were gone. He had no vision. We have no spiritual insight. Outside the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot find the way without him. And we see it right here. Jesus made it clear, I'm the way. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And he said, I'm the way, Thomas. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. We need God's leadership, and we need it now. You said, preacher, I'm wayward. I've never known Christ. Christ to lead you. Christ to save you. He'll do it today. Father, take your word right now and speak it to hearts. Save sinners by it. God, encourage backsliders with it. There may be some today, God, that's living in defeat. God, they're grinding in the devil's prison. But Lord, you'll liberate them. You've got a little lad that'll lead them. God, you'll lead them by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, you have provision. God, you've got a way. And we pray today you'd speak and work in every heart. Do it now. Oh, Father, lead us. Never leave us to ourselves. We can't find the way without you. God, speak that to our heart right now. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen and amen.